You that have your Bibles, if you want to open them to the Genesis 4:7 is where we left off. We are studying dispensational truth. You that might be new in the class, the different dispensations and the way that God dealt with man. We'll bring out before each and every lesson that God only saves man one way. That is by faith in His Son. He don't save in any age or in any other way. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is any man. Now, we have left the age of innocence. We call innocence. When Adam was there in the garden, he was innocent. That is to the difference between good and evil. He knew God. He knew what God was, so he knew good. But until he met the devil, he didn't know what evil was. And the first time that the devil took a swing at him, he broke him like a little twig. And if you think that you can resist the devil with the nature that you inherited from that situation, remember, he had come from his Maker's hand perfect. You are way, way down in a generation of broken sin. And he lost his innocence, and his conscience was awakened to what evil was. And now we have got into this age of conscience, and the first two born to that situation we went through in our last study, probably twins, because there's no space between the birth of them. In other words, she conceived again. So more likely they were twins. And one of them comes by the blood way, which had been demonstrated and preached to the parents. And probably Adam and Eve would come back to that place and offer a sacrifice. We brought out that the difference was not that they were worshiping a false god. Both of them were worshiping the true God. Their difference was their sacrifice. Cain brought of the feel the cursed ground, which God had cursed. He brought of the works of his hands, and God rejected him. Abel brought a blood sacrifice, which was a type of the seed promise, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was accepted. That was the only difference. And so it is today. You only have two religions. You have works, and you have grace. You either come to God in His Son's name, or you come in your own merit, regardless, and that is even from the time you were saved. You try, a lot of people try to appease God after they're saved by trying to reward Him by being good. That's what they try to do in their own strength. I'll pay you back by being good now, since you were so gracious to send your Son and die for me instead of living the life. They don't yield to the life and let the life and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and just live the life. And therefore, they never really get anywhere with God. As we finished the book of Galatians, and it taught us, if any man, that's any man, a saved man or a lost man, try to come to God in their own works, they just don't grow in grace, do they? Now, we had come up to this seventh verse here, and that is in the sixth verse, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Instead of why are you repentant? And why is thy countenance fallen? He was rejected. And then this seventh verse, some of the modern translations completely distort it. If you have one of those modern translations, you'll see that it says nothing like what is here before us. And there's two translations that I've heard of the people that are in the truth, that is of the first part of this. One of them, like Sister Bodie, she says, if thou doest well, or if thou don't do any sin, of course you're accepted to God. And if you don't do well, a sin offering or a lamb is right at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire. In other words, that lamb was completely helpless as to you taking it and sacrificing it, the same as Christ was. And thou shall rule over him. Christ, he can't resist. He couldn't resist the will of God. It was his will to die. Nevertheless, thou will. He was caught by the horns, or his horns being, he was the only being that could. And he was caught by this great love for his Father to die. And then the other translation, and if you use either one of them, they would scripturally be right, you understand. In other words, now if you do us well, God would never punish you if you never have a wrong deed, but you would never be born again. You would never be a son of God. You would forever still be a servant. You can never come into the heirship, as Galatians teaches us, as long as you're the servant. You could never come into what God has for the sons of God. The other translation is, if thou finally offer correctly, thou shalt be accepted, or if you bring the sacrifice. Now, if you have brought the wrong sacrifice, if you haven't done well and brought the wrong sacrifice, sin life's at the door, or bring the right sacrifice. And, of course, both of them would be right. God wouldn't put you in hell if you never did a wrong deed, would he? And you'll be born again, though, if you accept and trust in the Lamb of God, won't you? And then you that have this translation, in these modern translations, it said, they say, and unto thee shall be his desire. They're trying to speak of Cain. You can rule over Cain. And others, they say, if sin is lying right at your door, ready to jump right on you and destroy you. But sin had already taken over Cain. It had already jumped on him. He was already born that way. He just wouldn't admit he had that sinful nature. So if you have a translation like that, I hope that this has cleared it up for you. And if you ever run into one, there are quite a few people, you'll even hear them on television quote it like that. So that word sin is sin offering. you identified with your sin offering. And it speaks of Christ. Now, we see from verse 8 that conscience awakened did no good. And as we go through these dispensations, it isn't that they ever lose conscience and go into a different dispensation. You still got conscience. It's just that you sin against your conscience so much through a lifetime that it finally can't even talk to you anymore. When you are first born and you first come to an age of accountability, you start sinning against your conscience that tells you what's wrong and what's right. That pretty soon, these people have their conscience doesn't mean a thing to them what's wrong. You know the society that we live in now. And it talks about their conscience being seared with a hot iron to the point where they know it's wrong. But so what? In our age it says, because lawlessness shall abound. In other words, we know all of it's wrong. This guy's doing it, so why can't I? And that's exactly the attitude of man. But conscience followed us from this time on. We're responsible. You know things that are wrong. Paul said, covetousness had me deceived more than anything else, and you can understand that. Covetous would. But murder sure shouldn't. Stealing sure shouldn't. Lying sure shouldn't. We all know that our conscience tells us that that's wrong. And only the Holy Spirit can give you discernment to some things that are wrong. And covetousness, for instance, when you're small and you just want a bicycle that somebody else has got, you couldn't realize that that was wrong before God now, could you? But it is. That's what Paul said. I thought I'd kept it all till I read, "You shall not covet." And when he finally came to grips with what covetousness really was, he realized, why, I coveted a righteousness above the Lord Jesus Christ that I didn't even need him. What that is. So anyway, now we're in this. God has let man knowing evil and knowing what was good guide you right now. And you'll find out here that Cain proved his nature. Now, you never read in the Bible where you're going to be judged for your nature. You're going to be judged for your deeds that nature produced. You were born a sinner. David said, "I was born in sin," not meaning the act, but his nature to sin against what he knew was right, to do evil. And at a certain age, you begin to prove what your nature is. And by the deeds of the law, and now there is a time when we'll get into the law dispensation. But remember, there had been grace and there had been law from the beginning. Thou shalt not eat of that tree was a law. And also, grace from the beginning. Instead of them, the two grandparents of ours being put to death, an animal was put to death for them and covered them. So we have grace overruling the first law from the very beginning. And now we find out that man in this conscience age just completely don't care what is right and what is wrong. And We have he lies to God when God confronts him with killing his brother. He tells him, I don't know where he is. And then God curses the ground for Cain even further, which is a type of the Jew. Now, we're not going to get into all these types, so I won't be going through him killing his brother, or the Jew killing their brother, and all what has happened down through that. Or we just spent, just from the beginning of the Bible, have to go through it. And of course, he did say that everyone that findeth me shall slay me, and Hitler and them that have persecuted the Jews. We have the type, like I said there. But here we're just studying the dispensations, so we'll just see how man was. And then you'll notice from 4:16 that man just completely went to the bottom. In 19, you have a polygamist, the first one. And it was bloodshed. You'll notice that there was no government here to murder or to kill him. God took care of it himself. And then you'll note here that from given Cain's genealogy, if you'll read through there, you will never find out how old they were when they were born or when their father was born. In other words, there's given no age or time that they lived on the earth. And then you're given from 25 on the new beginning of Seth, and from 5, chapter 5, as you start that, you will see that each and every one of them that are named, that call up, then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, we know if you're going to call upon the name of the Lord, you had to call with the right sacrifice, what has been taught up to now, or in the name of Christ, or the seed to come. But you'll note that every one of those generations, you find that from the time they are born to the time they die is numbered. And here you'll see that all those that rejected the way of the cross or the way of sacrifice never lived, in other words. They don't give their dates because as far as God is concerned, they never lived. And then we go on and we find out that from 6:5, they intermarry. And this is what happens when you marry a sinner. If you're a born-again Christian and you marry somebody that has never accepted Christ and won't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have trouble. Probably going to have trouble anyway, aren't you? But you're really going to have trouble. And here we have a mixture with the unbeliever, with the world, in this first dispensation out of the garden. And it ends in 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And the very imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. 11:6, it says, let's go down. And the human government dispensation will find out, let's go down and see what he has imagined to do. His imagination is completely, not with good thoughts, but evil continually. That is the natural mind, regardless. If it's religious, if it's a government, that has not got, or a person that has not got the mind of Christ, it is imagination that is evil continually. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Of course, now he knew all this. We went into the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, way before Adam sinned. God already had made the way of an escape, a new creature, a complete new man in Christ. But this is for your learning. When you read, we'll read, God went down to see what man was doing. When he told Abraham, I'm going down to see if the things I've heard in Sodom are true. He knew everything. He is just giving you an example. As if you're going to judge something, you better get all the evidence. That's all he's showing you. You get all the evidence when you find, and make sure, if you make a judgment like he was going to make, he was going to destroy him. So, when you have a very severe judgment to make, get all the facts. And that's what he's trying to teach us here. So, it said he repented in his heart. He was grieved. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Notice it wasn't the fish in the water. It was the breathing things. Both man and beast and creeping things and fowl of the air. For it repented me that I have made them. Then Noah found grace in the Lord. And he made an ark. And God took 8 souls, destroyed the entire earth at that time, the breathing things, and saved 8 persons. And then the 8:20, Noah comes out of the ark. And now we go into the age of human government. Now, and we'll notice there'll be capital punishment for the first time. The one law that God does lay down. Capital punishment for premeditated murder. Now, during the millennium, it seems as if God will take this back to himself. Whether it'll be instant with people, or whether you'll just drop dead. There's many that feel that if you sin during the millennium, you'll just drop dead. The devil will be locked up, but there'll still be that, and the world will be cleansed. Nobody will say, do you know him? Righteousness flowing. But if you sin, like in the day of conscience, now God dealt with who up to this time personally with capital punishment. Now he gives it to men to govern themselves. So we'll read here. He makes the altar and the covenant, but notice that it is ever clean beast. I was watching a program here recently. These doctors in the Bible, and this one doctor said, well, Abel couldn't have domesticated a sheep that quick to have offered a lamb, as we just read. Well, they were domesticated. They hadn't become wild yet. It's clear that way. It was the curse. The tusks begin to grow. The thorns begin to grow. See, they've just got it exactly the opposite. as to what it really was. And when you read the Bible, if they go out here and dig up something and it isn't proving the Bible, they're just proving they agree with the Bible. That's all that is. This is right, and this is going to be proven right. So he offers these clean beasts, and then he said, he deals with the imagination again. He says, I won't curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for his imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more anything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Now, whether there had been seasons up to this time, we don't know. But at least from this time on, we had our seasons. And then God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and we have this word replenish again, the earth. And here's the main reason that I feel that there, not man, not the first man Adam, I mean, there wasn't a man before Adam, because it says the first man Adam, and that means human. But I believe that there were a creation of some type before this, because he told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth, the same as he's telling now Noah to do the same thing. Now, we know there was a creation before Noah, don't we? Now, what it was, we don't know, because we're interested in only one thing, what we were, the first man Adam, and we forget that. We knoweth no man that way, not even Christ. Only thing we're interested in is the new creation and what it will teach us here. So in this human government, between 2, 3, and 4, he tells them that now they can eat flesh. Up to this time, they were to eat herbs. And he makes it clear, though, that it was to be kosher. In other words, he didn't want you to eat the blood of it. And you'll notice that why he says in 6, the reason for this, and especially man, it wasn't really the murder. It was that we are made in the image of God. And for you to premeditate a murder of somebody is to strike out against God and His image, as you'll read there in verse 6. And He tells us now that we can eat the flesh, but He tells you not to eat the blood, and then He gives you capital punishment. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man, not just by a saved man, but by a government, whatever that government chooses, shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Now this is a commandment, and Noah, in the latter part of this chapter, will find out that he lost his headship. The earth was cleansed, but we have two different things right in a row here in government. We have first a man that at least for 120 years and more had completely resisted evil. And then the earth is so cleansed, nobody to bother him, and he goes out and gets drunk, and as the head of the government, shows that he cannot run it. And though we see him as an overcomer in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, look there in 29 and 28, you'll see that he lived 350 more years but you don't hear nothing more of him. This shows that if God puts you up in the head of a government, you're going to have to run it. And no drunk's going to run it. You know that. You just can't do it. This is the pessimist. And now the next guy is a dictator. We're going to find out. Nimrod. So, the moment he gives human government, there's the devil. Right there. If he can't get you to go one way against God, he'll get you to go the other way. And so it is with dictators in that we've had down since this time. We've had guys like Stalin. And I forget which one of the royals of England, I've read it, she was over there and she asked Stalin, she says, when are you going to quit killing people? He said, as soon as I can, as soon as they do everything I tell them to do, that's when I'll quit killing them. So, we have here very definitely the only law that God set down for our government. Now, you can choose what a government does, and then those that were under the law. Now, remember, the Jew was under the law because of a religious thing. Or probably none of us would be alive. Which one of you has ever sassed your parents? See, you'd be dead. Did you ever go too far on a Sabbath? You know, picked up sticks on the... But this law was the universal law. This was given before the law. Premeditated murder. And this is the only law you will find all the way through. Capital punishment. Now, it said, well, Jesus didn't believe in it. Well, if he didn't, you know, a lot of things you don't say in the Bible or don't hear in the Bible is the same thing. He had his chance to say that this was unusual punishment when he was hanging with those two thieves. The one said to the other one, we are getting our just deserts. This man has done nothing. Now, he could have right then nipped this thing in the bud and said, no, I don't believe in this, what you guys are getting. He just went along with them. You guys have finally, against society, against the laws of God as we read in Romans, and he that beareth the sword is caught up with them. We're faced with men like Bundy. I really believe the guy got saved. I listened to him. And I'm glad for him. But there's Scott and Lynn. He's a Christian. Would you want them to parole you next door to your daughter? Huh? No. You see, if we'd follow the instructions of God all the way, we'd never really get into any type of a mess, would we? But here, he lays it down and he says, be ye fruitful and multiply and cover the earth. This is the command that he gives them during this time. And now, turning over to, we'll get to Nimrod here. This is 10:8. Well, yeah, 10:8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Here now we have the second type of the Antichrist. First one, Cain. And now, like we have a type of the Lord Jesus Christ through, we have a type of the Antichrist. And Nimrod is a real type of the Antichrist. He is going to have a kingdom, and without God. He's a mighty hunter before the Lord, it says. And we just read the wickedness before the Lord. The imaginations before the Lord are against God. Evidently, he was a hunter of man. A mighty man in stature and intelligence. His was the first kingdom. And he began his kingdom was Babel. They called it a door to God, a way to God. And God, the Lord, changes their language in 11:6 and pronounces confusion on it. Here, if you want to study everything of him, you'll see that he is truly a type of the Antichrist, which will be with Babylon or this system, this false woman, hand in hand. Babylon, the first sin that Israel sinned when they went into the land was Achan, I believe his name was. He seen a Babylonian garment and some gold and silver. And he took it and he hid it in his tent. And it was stolen silver. As they were trying to steal the way, they're religious. They're trying to build another way. Cain had built a city. Now they're trying to build their way to God. They substitute their burnt stone or burnt martyr for stone. Of course, there was no stone in that area. And slime for mortar. Here are these. And it's the religion, the two, just two religions. And here you see the Antichrist. And it probably, I believe he's alive right now. And this system that they left off building that city, but they will begin again. And we are seeing this new world order. I just read the new world order where everybody will even think the same they believe. We're getting close to it. They would make a name for themselves. And as Sister Bodie said, if they ever got there, like this late Armstrong said, give God advice. We'll continue in it, Lord willing.